Well, thank you, Stephen. I just wanted to react a little bit and then open it to questions. In terms of what Graham said, I think we can learn a lot from the kind of topics that Graham talked about. In particular, there's been a lot done with narrative theory, the psychology of narratives, how narratives affect people's brains, stick them in an MRI and read a story to them and see what happens. I think those kind of researchers can also inform what we do in games. And in particular, with quoting McGonigal, I think the video game theory, there's been a lot done in terms of engagement, flow, immersion, participation in terms of video games. And as Graham said, one of the things you need to keep the players in the zone between what I would call boredom and anxiety. However, for professional players, I think anxiety takes many forms. They have a lot to be anxious about, given the fact that Stevens on their case. And so I think that a lot of times players are anxious about the scenario, they're anxious about the adjudication, they're anxious about their role in the game and their knowledge in terms of the game. And so we've got to kind of take that into account when we design and deal with games. But as you can see from Graham's talk, I think a lot of these intrinsic factors and how they're dealt with psychologically and how the psychological research addresses them can give us some very concrete ideas about how we design and deal with games. And then in terms of Nick's talk, I was really struck by the idea of the cognitive architecture, the system one and system two thinking. I think that we I'm not sure they know where it were with them, but certainly the simulation guys have a different view of games sometimes than what we do. They see games as messy simulations that are constructed by war gamers that they don't particularly understand. And I think this idea of unstructured or creative thinking as part of the overall problem-solving process is what we're missing sometimes in the argument. They very much go, and a lot of analysts and simulators tend to aggregate towards the critical thinking side of things. And we have been somewhat ineffective at making the argument that we're actually trying to not do that. We're not trying to compete head-on-head with the simulations and the analyses, but rather we're a different thing, a thing that creates this sort of creative space where people can understand problems. And so I think that was, I thought, certainly a very interesting approach to the argument. And then in terms of Stephen, I don't quite know what to make of it. But I think that one of the problems is, one of the things I noted was that frequently what happens to me is I don't get an ambiguous scenario, I get a very well-defined scenario. And the scenario is so well-defined that it actually determines what the answer is. And pushing back on that can often be very difficult, going back to the initial idea of anxiety. In some cases where you say, no, this is a crazy scenario that would never happen. Well, if you don't use this scenario, we are going to declare the game invalid. And when it's someone who actually can declare the game invalid, you have a very interesting and difficult trade-off. And oftentimes it's because they're not necessarily trying to be evil and drive it towards some predetermined outcome, but rather they're trying to do things like avoid work. You know, if we come up with a different scenario, they're going to have to go off and do a ton more work trying to figure out that scenario. So I think that's certainly been my experience, and it sort of broadens out some of the points that Stephen made. So with those observations, I'll turn over to questions for the panel. Yes.